Okay, I want to do a little apology before I begin the class that I, Baruch Hashem, had a busy week, and I actually forgot about the class until just a little while ago. I mean, I knew about it, and I got over Baruch Hashem with the simcha, so I didn't prepare this class really the way I should, or even less than that. So. But I didn't want to cancel. So at least let's learn, and I'm sure something good will come out of it. I usually like to give this class some more serious attention, especially since how important it is to learn about Geula Mashiach these days. This is what it was. So let's work with the best what we got. Okay, in the last class. We were learning was with the separation of Lot from Avram in Parshas Lech Lecha. Now we are holding over here. Today we're going to begin the story of the war of Avram Avinu with the four kings, four and the five kings, as we're going to see how that mamash relates to Mashiach and especially to what's going on in the world right now. But before that, we have a little promise. Or rather, a big promise that Hashem promises Avram Avinu before right after Lot leaves him, before this whole incident happened with the four and five kings. So the pasuk says that Lot separated from Avram, and Lot went to live in Sodom, and or next to Sodom, and then in pasuk Yudalet it says Vashem Amar El Avram, that Hashem says to Avram, Achadei Hipared Lot Meimai. After Lot had separated from him, so now Hashem speaks to Avram and he tells him, "Sana inecha, raise your eyes, ude'ei min amakay masharat hasham, and take a look from the place that you are standing over there, tzafayna to the north, vanegba to the south, vokedma to the east, v'yama and to the west. Ki es kala aretz asharat haroya, because the entire land that you see, lacha etnena to you, I will give it, ulezaracha and to your children ad oilam." From here on and ever. So, first of all, it's very, very interesting. This is mamish, the idea of today's chitas. We learned the chumash of the day. We're learning about the borders and the boundaries of Eretz Yisrael. Exactly what Hashem showed Avram Avinu and where he is looking, that's what we describe today with all precise details of it's one of the reasons I didn't get to prepare this class well was because we usually learn Chumash after davening here in Shul, and it usually takes 15 minutes. Today's Chumash took us an hour and a half. We go through the Rashis carefully and figure out exactly what the borders of Eretz Yisrael are. But it's here where Hashem showed it to Avram Avinu. He shows him north, south, east, and west, and all the. This is the entire land that I am giving to you. Then he says, "V'samti ezaracha." I will make your children, I will place your children ka'afara oretz, like the dust of the land. Asherim yuchal ish limnoi sesafara oretz. If anybody will be able to count the dust of the land, gamzar acha yomana, also your children will be counted. Kum, get up, hisalech ba'oretz, and walk across the land. So there's two promises here. Number one, let's try to capture what's going on here. Hashem is speaking to Avram after Lot separated from him. And he tells him, raise your eyes, take a look at the land. And Hashem, I guess, extended Avram's vision to be able to see far out, to the north, the south, the east, and the west. Everything that he sees, Hashem says, I will give to you. Then the Eibishter, just occurred to me right now, being that this is the land of Kedusha, the land of holiness, that's why Avram saw it. Because I'm wondering, Hashem shows him as far as he can see. Again, this is not a thought that I've seen anywhere. It's just occurring to me right now. But so usually a person can see a mile or two, right? How far can a person see? Maybe a mile far. I don't know how far. Let's say there's no obstructions and you have good vision. But obviously if Hashem tells him, see the land and whatever you see. So Avram is having really great vision. He can see. And I don't think it was prophetic vision. It was a gashmias degree. Avram is looking at the land and he sees in all directions. So obviously there's some kind of a miracle or, you know, that enables Avram to see so far. But he only sees to the borders. Because whatever says, whatever you see is yours. So he's obviously not seeing what's on the other side of the border. So why is that? I'll be pashtus, you say, because Hashem only made the miracle as much as he has to see, not more than that. But it could be as it has up to do something like that for Yetzadik, it says that a tzaddik sees only Kedusha. Things that are not in Kedusha are not in the in the vision of a tzaddik. They just it doesn't exist for them. There's two stories said about Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, that Reb Nachum of Chernobyl, one time they brought him milk, and every day he would drink some milk, and then the shamans came running in, and a while later, started asking for forgiveness, whatever, about the milk. He hoped that because they found out that the milk that was the wrong milk, it wasn't Chalav Yisrael, it was a milk that wasn't. And Reb Nachum was saying, what milk? And then they found the whole milk, the milk wasn't touched. And he said, what milk? He said, I was wondering, Taka, there was no milk today. And he didn't see the milk, even though he gave him the glass of milk, but since the milk was not kosher, in his world, it didn't appear. And he said the Pidush, it says that, what does it mean? We say Chalav Yisrael, and we say, so the Mishnah uses the terminology, Chalav Shechol Vayakum, milk that a guy milked, Ve'en Yisrael Re'ehu, and a Yid is not seeing it. Simply it means that there is no Jew overseeing the milking process. That's what means Chalav Yisrael. Chalav Yisrael is not Jewish cows. Chalav Yisrael means it's being milked, and there is a mashgiach, a yid, that's there to make sure. I'll be pashtus, and the simple meaning is that they don't switch the milk with non-kosher animal milk, whatever it is, and that's why you need to have a Yisrael over there. But the Reb Nachum said that chalav shechol v'akum, milk that a guy was chalav, that a guy milked, and then ve'en Yisrael re'eyu, a yid doesn't see it. A yid zeitnish, a yid sees what he has to see, and what he doesn't have to see, he doesn't see. And the same is also, was a story also once that it happened on Shabbos that they lit a candle. A guy was brought in and came in to light something. And Api Alacha, the guy was not allowed to do it. And Reb Nachum Chernobyl was walking around the house as if it was pitch black. He didn't see no light. He's feeling around like a blind man, like a mamish in the dark. And that was the same Indian. If it was not a light, it was if a light that came from an Isser, it literally, his physical senses did not relate to it. It didn't exist to him. So the same beer can be over here by Avraham Avinu, that when the Eibishter tells him to see, he sees what's his, what's Negeya, outside of Eretz Yisrael, which is not... Okay, then there is the Avoda that Yidden have in Galus, what the Rebbe says, Machda Eretz Yisrael, that's a different Indian. But in Tzad Eretz Yisrael itself, that's where his vision stops. In any case, Hashem tells Avraham to look across the land and to see, and then Hashem gives him a bracha, V'samti azaracha kafara oretz, I will make your children like the dust of the land. Okay, so in addition to the land, he also has a bracha for his children. And that has two parts to the pasuk. Number one, I will make your children like the dust of the land. Number two, that if anybody can cast the can count the dust, so too your children will be counted. And then Hashem continues again with the land. Kum esalach ba'oretz, go walk across the land, la'arka la'rachba, Hashem is telling him, kilachat nena, because you have given it. So he commands him to walk across the land. All right, this is the toichen of the Eibishter's dibur to Avram. We need to understand over here why in the middle of speaking about the land, he suddenly interjects about his children. He's giving him the land. Take a look this way, that way. Then he doesn't want him only to look. He also wants him to walk across the land. But why? Good. So he should have had that pasuk. Again, I, as I mentioned in the previous classes, I highly recommend everybody using a chumash, so it makes it in the class far more understandable. What I'm asking is that pasuk Tez Zayin seems to be interjecting in the middle over here between Tez Vav and Yud Zayin. They would have had a better hemshech if you continue with anywhere you look is yours, and then I'd say get up and walk across the land to the length and to the width, because I'm giving it to you. Why does he in middle speak about the children and about them being kafara aretz? So this is a question that the Al Shech HaKadosh asks. And he gives a phenomenal answer related to Mashiach. And this is based on what it says in the Medrash, on this pasuk when it says, your children will be like the dust of the land. So let me read for you the Medrash. Medrash Rabbah. So the Medrash says, over here, Benegeya to the This is in Bereshis Rabbah Perek Mem Aleph. V'samti ezaracha kafara aretz. What's the blessing that your children are going to be like the dust of the land? So there's a few. The Medrash has a few things. This is what it means, is a few things. Number one, ma afara aretz misayfa oylem atsayfai. Just like the dust of the land is from one end of the world to the other end of the world, meaning there's no place in the world where there isn't any dust of the land. There are plants that are only in certain places. There are minerals that exist only in certain places. And there are, of course, animals that have their habitat. And humans don't live across the entire world. There are big pieces and big areas that are empty. But one thing exists everywhere, is afar, is earth. So the Eibishter says to Avram Avinu, kach banecha yiyam mefuzarem miseifa olam atseifa. Your children are going to be all over the world. Now, is that a bracha or not? The Yidden are scattered all over the world. It seems like this is a bracha, just giving him that Yidden are going to encompass the entire globe, all over, even though, you know, he's giving him the promise of Eretz Yisrael, being Eretz Yisrael, but he's also telling him that the Yidden are going to be across the world. Does this mean in the time of Golas? We'll see. Then he continues and he says, "Uma afara oretz einem izbarach elo b'mayim." The earth, the blessing comes to the earth. The earth is very productive. The earth is the source of everything. The soil is the source of everything, but it needs water for it to be productive. Af Yisrael einem izbarachin elo b'schus ha-Torah. So to Yidden, they don't have a bracha only in the schus of Torah, shenim shel olamayim. That means Yidden need water, which is Torah. When Yidden have Torah, that brings out the bracha of the earth. Yidden shine, and all the treasures that are buried within them, as the earth has all this power, the Torah brings out the power of the Jew. Okay, Medrash continues. Oma ofar mevala es klei matchos. Just like ofar destroys or causes everything to erode, brings erosion to all kli mateches. Mateches means any keli made out of any kind of metallics, any kind of metal. If you put a keli of matchos and you leave it in the earth, it rusts. V'hu kayam la'olam, but the earth never changes. The earth remains what it is. Kach Yisrael, so will be with the Yidden. Kol oiv de kachavim b'telim, those who serve the stars, which generally means the nations of the world, will be nullified. V'heim kayamim, and they are sustained. So we're the earth over the whole world, and Yidden can in some way cause an erosion to everything else that's there, but they last forever. Okay, darf man euch verstehen, what does this mean? This means chas v'shalom doesn't mean destruction. It means that we erode the klipa that's everywhere, but Yidden remain forever. And then the medrash becomes a little sad. Uma ofar asuya dayish. And just like earth is also what everybody tramples on, everybody steps on the earth. Af panecha asuyim dayish la'ev dekechavim. So too your children are going to be made into a threshing land for the nations. That means everybody's going to step on them. And the Medrash goes on and brings Psukim to this idea. Okay. So the Medrash is comparing Yidden to the earth, and some of it seems to be positive, and some of it seems to be not so positive. The fact that Yidden are across the world, that's a positive thing, speaking about numerousness of Bnei Yisrael, how many they're going to be, and they're going to be all over. Number two, and as we see, it means we're all over, but we're prominent all over. We're in the news all over. And then the idea that we need the Torah, good, positive Indian. This, that it brings erosion to everybody, but it caused everything else to erode, but it itself sustains and remains forever. And that's all positive. And then the negative element is that Yidden are going to be, chas v'shalom, stepped upon by everyone. Daesh. Okay, this is the Medrash. So the Al Shech HaKadosh says, how does the Medrash see two contradicting ideas? On the one hand, is this a good bracha that Yidden are going to be kafara aretz? They're going to be like the dust of the land? Or is it a negative thing? Dust is a good thing, as we mentioned, or doesn't have its negative thing? So he says, both are true. And they're both merumas in the pasuk, and they're talking about two times in Jewish history. Going back to Pasuk Tezayin, you see the Pasuk says a double language about Yidden being like the dust of the land. First, it says that Yidna going to be ka'afara aretz. V'samti ezaracha ka'afara aretz. That Yidna going to be like the dust of the land. But then it continues and it says, Ashenem yuchal ish limnoi sesafara aretz. If anybody's going to be able to count the dust of the land, so your children will be counted. And he asks a simple question. Well, if Yidnak appeared to the dust, then we know already they're not countable because the dust is so much, you can't count it. So what does this mean? If anybody can count the dust, so your children will be counted. When it says it already, when it says that they're going to be like the dust of the land. Simply, I mean, but Pasht is not a kash. It's explaining what their comparison to dust is. But if you think a little deeper, you could have figured that out on your own. So therefore, why does the Pasuk have to elaborate? So he says that in this Pasuk, the Pasuk is hinting to the two things that the Medrash sees these contradicting elements in Afara Aretz, in dust of the land, and the bracha that Yidden being like the dust, the Medrash sees these contradicting ideas, both positive and negative, because the Pasuk elaborates. And it works like this. The first half of the Pasuk, when it says your children are going to be like the dust of the land, is the negative element of dust. When you hear dust of the land, if someone was to give someone else a blessing, your children, they should be like the dust. Obviously, no parent would be happy with that blessing. Because dust in the land, that means obviously it's worthless, and everybody tramples on it. So that's the simple meaning. And that's where the Medrash derives that Yidna are going to be trampled on. But then, when it says, when the Pasuk explains, just like the dust can't be counted, your children won't be counted, that's the positive element in the bracha of dust, the numerousness of Bnei Yisrael, that they're going to be so many that they can't be counted. And he says, will understand why this Pasuk about the children is coming here. As we asked earlier, how does it suddenly emerge between these two psukim, speaking about giving Eretz Yisrael to Avram Avinu and to his descendants? And he says like this, the reason for it is because we're talking about, in these psukim, the Eibishter is forecasting and giving prophecy to Avram, letting him see the entire Jewish history. And he's speaking of two separate conquests of Eretz Yisrael. Hashem is giving him benevuah. That Yidna going to take possession of the land two times. Now let's go back to Pasuk, the earlier Pesukim. The first two Pesukim are speaking about the first conquest through Yehoshua ben Nun, as Yehoshua brings the Yidden into Eretz Yisrael. Over there it says, Hashem tells Avram Avinu, you raise your eyes, take a look, east, south, north, south, east, and west, this entire land, I will give it to you and to your children. And it says forever. So what does that mean? So first of all, Avram is not walking on the land. He's only looking at it. Because during the time when Yeshua is going to conquer the land, Avram is not going to be there physically. He's going to be looking upon the land from heaven. From his place in Gan Eden, from Ares HaMachpelah, Avram is going to see the land being taken, conquered by the Yidden as they're crossing the Yarden. Now, technically, there always is a possibility that that would have lasted forever. That's why the Eibishter says, L'chol zaracha ad olam, forever. It is possible for it to be taken forever. However, that did not materialize because the Eibishter did give the Yidden Bechira Chafshis. And as we have Bechira, we have the possibility, Chas V'Shalom, of the ideas we say, Mipnecha to'enu galinu ma'arzenu, because of our sins, we've gone into galus. So we did not, we did not make it ad olam, forever. In some way, we know that the conquest of Yeshua is an eternal conquest, and really Eretz Yisrael is ours, even when we're not there. So there is, it's not chas v'shalom, that it's not true that it's ad olam, but in a revealed way, it's not ad olam, because we did not merit that. Then the pasuk continues. And the Pasuk says, Hashem is telling Avram, I will make your children like the dust of the land. That's continuing on in Jewish history, where Hashem says, your children will be trampled on. That's the first thing we said earlier. What does it mean, the dust of the land? It means, when you're thinking about dust, it means something that's worthless and everybody is stepping on it. Your children will be treated like worthless entities in this world, as Jews were constantly persecuted and chased around from place to place, because they were seen like something extra in this world that no one wanted to have. And this has Nebuch been fulfilled in the 2,000 years of our wandering and our suffering in Golis. That's the first half of the Pasuk. Then the Pasuk is, however, saying the dust of the land, and however, amongst this negative meaning that the Eibishter is comparing it ka'afar, like the dust that everybody tramples on, there is also another bracha hidden there in the galus itself, and that is what we said earlier. The Medrash says that the earth really has the last laugh. Even though everybody steps and tramples on the earth, ultimately the earth covers everything. And not only that, it causes everything to erode, but it lasts forever. So even though the Jewish people will be stepped on and whatever, but they will consume the entire world, as we said earlier, Machda Eretz Yisrael. Everything will become holy. They will cause the klipa complete erosion, and they will make the entire world Jewish in a sense. Everything will become so affected by Yiddishkeit and by holiness. So that's the second inyan. In the first phrase, Vesamti Zeracha Kafara Oretz, it's a bracha and the opposite of a bracha together. Okay. I mean, obviously, it's only a bracha because the reason you didn't go to Galus is because of this refinement and purification that we do. But then the second half of the pasuk is speaking already about Yomoisa Mashiach. It's saying that if your children will be counted, if the dust can be counted, so too your children will be counted. Is that the Yidden will become so numerous that they won't be counted? That's talking about already the future. In the end of days, when the Jewish people will become so many, as we know. The bracha that Yidden will be numerous, that we can't be counted, has never really been fulfilled. We've been a lot of Yidden at certain times in history, but never in the point that we couldn't count them. When Mashiach will come, when Isha Teilet V'chol Yoyim, when women will give birth every day, then Yidden will be without it. It will be literally countless. And that's the second half of this bracha, of the pasuk. And here's the beautiful thing that Al-Sheikh says. And at that time, you're going to take possession of the land a second time. That's why it interrupts it in the middle. And then that conquest, kum hisalech ba'aretz, get up, you walk in the land, la'arko la'rachba, to the length and to the width, ki lecha etneno, because to you yourself I will give it. Because at that second conquest, Avram Avinu himself is going to be there to watch the conquering and the taking hold of the land, because of Tchias HaMesim, and Avram is going to be together with Mashiach Tzidkenu. And as we know, that the biggest tzaddikim are going to get up immediately by Bias HaMashiach. So when we complete the taking back of the entire Eretz Yisrael, the Gvul Isa, including all the three lands that we don't even have now, Keni, Knizi, and Kadmoini, the land of the 10 nations, that is going to be with Avram Avinu himself being over there. So this is referring to that last conquest. Excuse me, that is the incredible insight from the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, how these psukim are referring to the Geula Shleima and the ultimate taking possession of Eretz Yisrael. All right. Then the pasuk begins telling us the story of the great war and the great battle. The Perek Yudalad in Parashas Lech Lecha. So the Torah goes on to relate that Vayhi b'mei Amraphel, it was in the days of Amraphel, who is the king of Shinar, and Aryeh, who is the king of Elasar, and Kedar La'omer, and Kedar La'omer, who is the king of Elam, and Sidal, who is the king of Goyim. And, so there's four kings, and they're waging a war. Asul Mulchama, they wage a war, as Bera Melech Sedoim, against Bera, the king of Sedoim, Birsha Melech Amoira, Birsha, the king of Amoira, Shinav Melech Adma, Shinav the king of Adma, Shem Aver Melech Tzvayim, Shem Aver is the king of Tzvayim, and Melech Bela Hud Hit Tzayar, okay? And the king of Tzayar. So there's a war of four against the five, and we know the four were more powerful than the five. They defeated the five. Avram, defeated the five kings, they took their the land of the five and all the inhabitants into captivity. Amongst the captives was Lot. Avram Avinu goes to save his nephew Lot, and he goes out to war, and the big miracles that happen, him and only his servant Eliezer are fighting against these massive four kings who fought against, right? So the Medrash tells us right over here that, I'm going back to the Al-Sheikh HaKadosh, I forgot to say, he concludes and he says, being that Hashem had just told Avram Avinu the entire scope of Jewish history, how we're going to have two times we're going to come into Eretz Yisrael, once with Yahushua, And then there is going to be a gullus, a long gullus, in which Yidden are going to be scattered all over. And they're going to be trampled on. And then the end, we're going to take back Eretz Yisrael again with Mashiach Tzidkenu, Mamish now, together with Avram Avinu. So the Eibishter was now going to give Avram a hands-on experience that Avram should not be frightened of that middle pasuk where it describes that Yidden are going to be the dust of the land and be afraid that Yidden Chas V'Shalom are going to be overpowered by these powerful nations. The Eibishter is now showing him the four kings, because the four kings are, as we're going to see now in the Medrash, are just a little preview for the four kings, which represent the four Goliaths, which the Jewish people are going to have to endure. And the Eibishter is showing him that, just like you see, that even though it doesn't make any sense, you and Eliezer are fighting a battle against four kings that won a war against five. That means they're not stam strong. They can win against a bigger, larger, you know, an army of five armies against the four armies. They maybe were outnumbered, but yet they were so much more powerful. So you're talking about such enormous strength, yet don't be afraid because you'll be stronger than them. And even though it doesn't make any sense, one person against the mightiest armies in the world doesn't make any sense. At the end of days, as we're going to see soon, this war that we're referring to over here, in addition to the four kings, it's talking about the last and final gang up of the nations in the world against little tiny Eretz Yisrael and against Melech HaMashiach. This, everybody, I would like to share with everyone who's listening today, happened already this week. It's not something that, you know, we talk about the big Nevuahs, the Navi is full of the nations of the world ganging up against the Jewish people, the war of Gog and Magog, where all the nations come upon Yerushalayim. Hashem should protect. It doesn't have to happen in the physical sense. But one thing is, if Chas V'Shalom, anything does happen, as we don't know what's going to lead ahead of us in the months coming ahead, we were expecting Mashiach Tzidkenu Mamish momentarily. But what we do see is what happened this week is Mamish, the nations of the world laid a siege on Yerushalayim, because this treaty, what they call the treaty or deal that was done by our illustrious president over here in the United States, who has never been a friend of the Jewish people and is probably an incarnation of the biggest who knows who from previous from the biggest that's what it says in the Zayar, that the biggest anti-Semites in Jewish history, whether it's Paroi, Nebuchadnezzar, and others, are going to all come back to the world right before Mashiach comes and suffer a terrible defeat. But it's clear that this whole treaty was a gang up against the little Jewish people, and to basically allow the creation of it's not about stopping the creation of an atomic bomb, it's about enabling the creation of atomic bomb to threaten Eretz Yisrael, the very existence of the Jewish people. And this was done this week, which is mamish the story of the four kings. But we know that the Medrash tells us. Let me read the Medrashim. Okay, instead of me stam saying over here, let me read how this is mamish. It's amazing when you look at what's happening. You look in the Chumash, you look in the Medrashim, you look out into the news, you listen to the radio, you read the news, and what do you see? Mamish, it's all happening. Anyways, the Medrash says like this. Give me a second over here. Number four kings. Okay. Rab Avin says, Keshem Shapasach Bedalad Malchiyos, just like we begin with the four kings, Kachena Choysem Ela Bedalad Malchiyos. We're not going to conclude only with the four kings. That means that in the beginning there was a fight against four coming against Avram. So too, in the end of days, it's also going to be, we're going to have trouble with four empires. And who are the four empires? They're as follows. Kedar Omer is the king of Elam. The Medrash says that's the kingdom of Modai. Amraphel is the king of Shinar, that's Bavel. Okay. Aryeh, the king of Elasar, is the Greek empire. Mepharshim say, because the word Elasar comes from Kelsar, he wants to remove you from your God, and that's what the Greeks tried to do. They even told the Jewish people to ride on the horn of an ox, that Ein Lehem Chilek, they don't have a portion anymore, but Lekei Yisrael and the God of Israel, so Kelsar, that's Elasar. And finally, Sidol is the king of Goyim, that's referring to Edom. because Edom, the Roman Empire, was created from peoples coming from different places. Similar, it was a melting pot, similar to America, that was built up from a flow of different peoples and different tribes. And so was the Roman Empire, and that's called Melech Goyim. So these are the four kings. So as it's referring to the kings in the days of Avram, it's also referring to a future confrontation between the descendants of Avram with the four kings. And then it says, Rapinchas b'shem Ravevi Pasach, Vehemu lo yada machshavas Hashem. They don't know the thoughts of God. V'loy hevinu etzasai. And they don't understand God's counsel. Ki kaptsam ka'amir gerana. Here, what's going on over here? The Eibishter gathered them together, like you gather together grain to be threshed at a threshing place. In other words, if you have to deal with every single piece of grain individually, it's a whole tircha, it's a whole bother. But you put them together in the graining field. But what's the point of it? So that you can crush them all in one shot. So why did the Eibishter gather? They thought they're making this big alliance for whatever reason. These four kings. It was also that they should fall together. They should all fall together in the hand of Avram. Then the Medr says, let me continue. Amar Rabbi Lazar Baravina says, Imra Isa Malchios Mizgarois Elu Be'elu. When you see nations fighting one with the other, Tzafal Raglo Shal Mashiach. Now you should wait for the footsteps of Mashiach. Teda Shekain Shahar Shekain. How do you know it's so? Sharebi Me Avram. This one happened by Avram. Al Yadeshan is Garu Amalchios Elu Be'elu. Through big world wars that were taking place, Baha Geula L'Avram, the Geula came to Avram. Mashiach's coming is going to come through a clashing of the nations. Well, we're seeing that happening now in the world in a very strong way. And even though it happened in the past, but all the times that we happened in the past, we did not have a Navi, a Melech B'Yisrael, who said to us that it's a Giyazman Gulaschem, that this is part of the Geula. What's happening now is, without any shadow of a doubt, part of the Geula. And it's clear that this pact of Russia and China and the United States and Britain and Germany, it got me so angry the other night. I was reading that Germany is telling Israel that it has no right. Germany is telling Israel that they have the Eretz Yisrael, that they have no right to say that this, to fight against this nuclear deal, because it's going to actually help them very much. It's going to stop. And I'm thinking that Germany is like, the first thought is Germany is the ones that lecturing the Jewish people about worrying for their safety and their defense. But this is it. You see that this makes no sense at all. And it's mamish, the Eibishter is preparing the world for its last and final showdown. And mamish, momentarily, it's going to be, without any doubt, Melech b'yofyoy techzena inenu. The king is going to rise in all of his glory. And the world clearly sees that there is no leadership. And the moment Mashiach will rise and he's going to begin and he's going to speak to the world, everybody's going to see that Yesh Melech Ba'olam, that there is a Melech in the world. And this is mamash what's happening here. Just to conclude, this is what the Mefarshim, as they explain the Medrash, the Ramban and Rabbeinu Bechaya, and all of them in such beautiful words describe. Here you have, let me read before we get to that, Medrash Tanchuma. It says that the Medrash Tanchuma goes on in this parsha to describe. Until now, I was reading Medrash Rabbah. Here is the Medrash Tanchuma, where the Medrash describes how everything that happened to Avram happened to his children. And it says in the end, it says, it goes through a whole long list, but then it says Avram nizdav guloy abar malachim. Avram was, they encountered him four kings. Afli Yisrael asidim kol hamalachim. Also, so it's going to be in the end of days. To the Jewish people, all kings lehisragesh aleim will attack them, will make a tumult upon them. Shenem alama rak shugoyim ulehim ulumim yehegu rik. Why do the nations? Why are they tumulting? Ulumim and the empires yehegu rik. The Eibishter says they are speaking rik, rik meaning empty words. Yisyatzvu malchei eretz, the kings of the world are standing, v'roiznim, and ministers, noistu yachad, are scheming together. That's what they've been doing over there in Austria, out of all places. They sat and schemed together, al Hashem, against God, Va'al Mashiachai, and against Mashiach. And against Mashiach Tzedkenu. So why does the Medrash conclude? Ma Avram Yatza HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'nilcham B'Soinav. Just like by Avram, Hashem himself stood up and fought against his enemies. And he brings a pasuk, Shanema Mi Heir Mimizrach Tzedek, whatever, and how Hashem fought for him. Af Kach Asid HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Asis L'Bonav. Hashem will do for his children. You wonder, how will the little Jewish people stand up against Russia, China, the United States, and who knows, and all the Arab countries there in Iran, and the Gansa, all this that's over there, Shanema, as it says, V'yatza Hashem V'nilcham Bagoyim. And the Eibishter himself will go out and wage war against the nations, K'yoyim Halachmoy B'yoyim Krav. Like the day he fought, on the day of battle, which is referring to Avram, it's a pasuk in Zechariah. So the Eibishter V'tzicher Helfen, without any shadow of a doubt, there won't be any harm befalling even one Yid in any way whatsoever. And the whole thing is a tumult in vain. But it's just exciting to see what's happening in the world, that we have to be confident and sure and know that we're holding mamish now by the unfolding of the Geula Shalem in front of our eyes. It's Matzah Shmita. Chazal say, Matzah Shmita ben David Deba. There has never been as an auspicious time as now, as moving into the end of the Shmita, from now of and Elul, and moving into Tishrei of Tavshin Ayin Vav. There's big things going to happen, and Be'ezus Hashem, we're going to see it with our own eyes. We are, next week, going to discuss this war of the four kings against the five, and its application, and its meaning, its Mashiach Dege meaning, Be'ezus Hashem, in greater detail. Meanwhile, everybody have a good week. And by the time we have our Shia next week, we should be giving it already in Yerushalayim, Yir HaKodesh, right? Maybe in one of the rooms on the side of the Beis HaMikdash. Be well.